to Aliza again for really putting so much time and effort into making this such a beautiful gathering. Chavod the Heligatana Rashbi. Shaki said to me before that he saw me the last couple of days sitting in shul, preparing a lot of different things, but definitely spent a lot of time the last couple of days trying to figure out what to say. It's impossible to not speak about what happened last year in Meron, but it's equally impossible to speak about it. It's impossible to not speak about it for very obvious reasons. When Klal Yisrael goes through a difficulty, when there's a tragic loss of life, in a way that none of us can even begin, even a year later, to wrap our heads around. And especially that there should be someone from our own neighborhood, Nachman Daniel ben Aryeh Tzvi, Alav Shalom, is watching videos today from Yeshiva Shalavim, is watching the Boyana Rebbe light a candle for the 45, the Yahrzeit candle for each of the 45 individuals whose life was snuffed out last year in Meron. And it would be cruel, it would be antithetical to who we are as Jews to not remember and to not think and to not talk about, not try to make sense of some of that pain. But it's equally impossible to speak about such a thing, such an event, such a tragedy on a day like Lag BaOmer. Because the deeper you go into the sugya, the more you try to understand what Lag BaOmer is. It's the antithesis of everything that happened to us. Lag BaOmer is a day that's supposed to be a day of healing. It's a day of refuos, harofe l'shvure leiv, mechabish l'atzva sam, like we say, Psukei de Zimra. The Teres Yeshua of Jikov says, harofe l'shvure leiv, shvure is the same osis as Rashvi. Rishon Baruch Hai comes to heal broken hearts. The place of Rishon Baruch Hai is oz v'chadva v'mkomo, as all the tzaddikim talk about. Rishon Baruch Hai is the Melitz Yosher of Klal Yisrael. Lag BaOmer is the day of the bittul of the Avelis of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. It's a time where we celebrate in the most cryptic of ways where Rishon Baruch Hai taught us how to transcend Misa itself. Rishon Baruch Hai in the Zohar died on the word Chaim. He died on the word life. Tonight, of course, is Chai Iyar. It's a man where everything is screaming at us to celebrate life, to celebrate life, to be besameach in life and a pneumistic life, like we were saying before. And I was learning a lot this week from the Belush of a Rebbe, the Tzvila Tzadik. He says so many Ramazim, he says so many deep Torahs, and I saw so many things that were so connected that in some way, in a very pneumistic way, help us to try to understand in some seichel-dik way how such a thing could be. But it's not the time, it's not the place. And it would take many, many, many hours to even try to say it in a way that wouldn't be painful or hurtful or confusing or misleading. And that's not what we're here to do. What we do know about Lag BaOmer is the thing that we don't know about Lag BaOmer. Whole inyan of the world of Rashbi, the Torah of Rishon Baruch Hai, is that it's a world of sod, it's a world of secrets. It's a world that unlocks and at the same time conceals, it's revealing and concealing at the same time, the world of sod. Rishon Baruch Hai in his final moments was revealing the deepest secrets of the Torah. But the question that every Jew asks on Lag BaOmer is, I'm not a mekubal, I'm not a big tzaddik. Rishon Baruch Hai saw good by us, of course, Amechulim Tzadikim. Rishon Baruch Hai revealed all sorts of wonders of creation, the mysteries of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, the Zohar, the Sod, the secret. Like I said, we tried to enter into that secret place. We'll sing it a little bit. Bar Yochai B'Kodesh HaKadoshim, a place that most people can't go, a place that most of us feel we're not entitled to go. place we don't really know how to go. V'hazar ha'karev yumas, a place where a zar, where someone who's an outsider, someone who's not a pnimi, like we were speaking before, has no place there. But on Lag Ba'Omer, the zar becomes a raz, becomes a sod, becomes a secret. Raz means a secret. And we all try to find our way into that mysterious place of Kodesh Kadashim. We try to have that face-to-face encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we try to embrace the mystery of how Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world. It's a time where we say that even though we don't understand anything, we understand everything. That's what Rabbi Shimon Baruch Chai was trying to give over to us. And that feeling of not understanding, of not being able to make sense of really anything, not understanding what is in the Shema, not understanding what is good, what is bad, why are things like this, why are things like that. That whole soul, that whole secret of life can be very depressing or can be very calming. It can be very depressing because I feel frustrated. How could it be? How could it be? You can spend your whole life asking questions, tainas, complaints. Or it can be very calming when you accept that there are things that are much bigger than us, and they're real. Those things that are bigger than us are real. But the way that Hashem runs the world is confusing, but it's real. I just read very recently, Rav Gadol Eisner, I hope this story is not misinterpreted, because it's a story that stings a little bit. So Rav Gadol Eisner was a Holocaust survivor, a Ger Chassid. After the war, he was talking to a Jew who was very, very broken by what he had experienced, what he had seen during the war. And he said to Rav Gadol Eisner how angry he was at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how disappointed he was in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how confused he was by the so-called God of the world. And Rav Gadol Eisner said a shocking thing. And again, I hope it's not jarring in a bad way, but it's emes. Sometimes emes can be hard to ingest. Rav Gadol Eisner said to this fellow who was clearly grappling with the Muna, and it wasn't his judgment. Rav Gadol Eisner, if you know who he was, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was not a person who judged. He was always about being mechazek in him. So Rav Gadol Eisner said to me, he said, if I was the Kadosh Baruch Hu during World War II, I would have done everything exactly the same way. This fellow was very taken aback. He says, how can you say such a thing? He said, because let's think about what you're saying. Let's think about exactly what you're saying. What you're saying by questioning a Kadosh Baruch Hu is you're saying that Hashem doesn't know what he's doing. And the only reason that we think that Hashem doesn't know what he's doing is because we truly don't know what Hashem is doing. But Rav Gadol Eisner said, but if I was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what I meant to say is that if I understood the way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu understood, then it would all make sense. So if I was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I would do everything the same way. Of course, as an outsider, as a person who's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand any of it. But if I was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I would have done everything exactly the same way. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. It's a hard thing for us to have the humility to swallow. But that's the truth of Amunah. That's the truth of Amunah and Bitachon. Bar Yochai b'Kodesh HaKadoshim, in a deep and mysterious place. Moshe Rabbeinu is begging a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu. He's begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodi'eini Nasir Achecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, explain how this whole thing works. The Gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin, Tzadik Varelo, Rosh HaVetovlo, the world doesn't seem fair. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't understand the cheshbonos that you have. Lo machshava sai machshava secha. And then a few psukim later, Moshe Rabbeinu says, give me a glimpse, Har'eini Nas Kvodecha. Show me your kavod. Show me how the whole thing works. Which the Kodesh Baruch Hu says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo sucha liros es panai, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'cha. Because you can't live and encounter me at the same time. And yet somehow Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who all the tzaddikim say was really a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu, so many connections between, again, enough time for them now, Moshe Rabbeinu and Lag Ba'Omer, the very words Lag Ba'Omer is Gematria Moshe. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai somehow understood that. On his deathbed, in those moments of Misa, he was declaring Chaim, that he died on the word Chaim. He was somehow revealing that secret that when a person leaves this world, it's a Pesach, it's a portal into the next world. Rabbi Shimon Pasach, he's always Pasach. In the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon is always Pasach. Rabbi Shimon is always opening. What's he opening? He's opening up the Torah. He's opening up dimensions of ourself. And he's opening us up to deeper realities of the world. Arayni nas kvodecha. Moshe says, please, Hashem, let me catch a glimpse. Explain it to me. Let me see how this whole thing works. Arayni nas kvodecha is gematria, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, he understood it in a way that we can't understand. But he understood that sometimes greatness, illuminated Torah, comes from a dark cave. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai understood that light comes from a place of darkness. And when Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai comes out of his cage, he's physically broken. Rav Pinchas ben Yair, his son-in-law, as he's bathing him, he's crying over the pain of looking at such a broken individual. And Rav Shimon bar Yochai says back to him, no, you're looking at it all wrong. He says to his father-in-law, he cries out, Rav Pinchas ben Yair, the Heilig Tana Rav Pinchas ben Yair, Oy li, shirisicha bekach. It's so hard for me to see you like this. I don't get it. How could you be like this? How could this have happened to you? Which Rashbi responds, Ashrecha, Sharisani Bakach. I'm so happy that you're able to see me like this. But you're so broken. He says, you're so broken. And Rashi Berachai says, no. Because if you wouldn't see me like this, Lo Matzasi Bikach. Had I not gone through some of those difficulties, I never would have, had I not been in that dark cave, there never would have been a Tzar. There never would have been an illuminated Tzar. Rashi Berachai was no stranger to pain. Rav Shimon bar Yochai was no stranger to suffering. Rav Shimon bar Yochai always gave us a perspective of somehow, he showed us how, in some way, he reveals to us in a way that we don't even fully understand. But he reveals to us in a certain way that somehow it all makes sense. The very first teaching in Shas, the very first time in Torah Shema Peh, we meet Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Brachos Daf Hei Amal Av. Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, Shalosh Matanos Tovos Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. There were three great gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Jewish people. The three best things I could possibly give you, Hashem says. V'kulan lo naslan ela al yedei Yisur. But there's only one way to get them. There's only one way for a Jew to get these things. The gift of Torah, the gift of Eretz Yisrael, the gift of Olam Haba. There's only one way to get those things. And it's through Yisurin. It's through difficulty. It's through challenges. It's through going through things that we don't understand. And therefore, the day of Hod Shabbahod, Lag Ba'omer. Hod Shabbahod. What does that mean, Hod Shabbahod? You see it in the Arturo Seder. Maybe you say if you're really pious, you say the little tefillos after counting Sfirasa Omer. What's the sod? What's the secret? What's this night about? Hod Shabbahod. The glory of glory. What's Hod? What does Hod mean? It would take a long time to explain it properly, and I still wouldn't be able to explain it properly because I don't know how. But the idea of Hod, if one were to look at the 10 spheros, the way that they were printed in a Kabbalistic chart, Hod is on the left side. Hod is actually the lowest of the spheros on the left side. It's not the lowest of the spheros, but it's the lowest manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch on the left side. The left side is Midas Adin. The right side is Chesed. The left side is Din. Hod Shabbahod, in a certain sense, is the lowest of the low. And yet it means the glory of glory. There's a certain beauty that comes from a place called Hod. Hod is the Midah of Aaron HaKohen, the one who goes into Kodesh Kadashim. Hod Shabbahod is Kodesh Kadashim. It's a place of bittul, of surrender. It's a place of being thankful. It's a place of admission, of confession, of saying that I don't know. The Hod Shabbahod, the beauty of Hod, is being able to somehow recognize beauty in difficult things in life. And it's very, very hard. It's not easy for a person to say that to oneself and to say it in an emistic way. It's certainly not something that anyone could tell someone else to feel. But that was the world of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, to find that ore in that place of Choshech. To realize that when I don't understand something, that itself is closest to Hashem. That's a Dveikus by Hashem. It's not a surrender of feeling frustrated. It's a surrender of acknowledging something so much bigger than this. There was a Rav who once came to Aaron Chernobyl, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha. And he wanted to ask Rav Aaron of Chernobyl a pshat in a zohar. He didn't understand the passage in the Zohar Kadosh. He comes to Rav Aaron of Chernobyl and he says, you know, Rebbe, can you explain to me this passage in the Zohar? So Rav Aaron of Chernobyl says, I don't understand. Why do you learn Zohar? Why do you learn Zohar? He said, why do you learn Zohar? So this fellow says to him, I learned Zohar because when a person learns Zohar, it's makadesh a person. It sanctifies a person. It's such a holy text. It's spiritually cleansing. So Rav Aaron Chernobyl said back to him, he said, but I don't understand. He said, let's be honest, the Chumash is holier than the Zohar. The Chumash is the word of Hashem. Rashbi was Kodesh Kadashim. But the Chumash is holier than the Zohar. So why don't you learn, if you want holiness, why don't you learn Chumash? So he says, Rav Aaron is explaining to him, he says, a person doesn't just learn Chumash, because when you learn Chumash, you think you understand. There's a pshat to Chumash. There's a bunch of pshat. If you don't understand pshat, look at Rashi. Rashi, as he writes in Bereishis Perek Gimel, comes to say pshat. So when you learn Chumash, you think you understand. Why do we learn Zohar? Rav Aaron Chernobyl said, because the Kedusha, the Tar of the Zohar, comes from what? From that surrender to a text that shows me how little I understand. And that's a cleansing thing. But if you're going to come to me and ask me to explain to you the Zohar, then you might as well learn Chumash. Because the Chumash you understand. You don't learn Zohar to understand. So what do you mean? So what does it mean? So what was Rashbi giving us? He gave us something we don't understand. But again, that world of understanding and not understanding at the same time. Ahoj Shabahod. The beauty of surrender. The beauty of admitting how little we know. The beauty of acknowledging that there's something so much bigger than us in this world. Benji shared with me some Torah from Rav Shmuel Zucker from Eretz Yisrael, Shlita, that he shared last year, about a week after the horrible tragedy in Meiron. And I want to share some of it with you for a couple of minutes. Because I think he captured it. I was saying to Rav Benji, such beautiful, such sweet Torah, and it's so on point. And it's so much this idea that I'm trying to share with you today. In the Zohar, it describes that when Rav Shimon left this world, Rav Shimon spoke about how his life was b'chad ketira iskatar nabeh. My whole life was one big hiskashrus in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Always connected, tveikus. Always in the hands of Hashem. That idea of being makusher, the idea of being b'chad ketira. Ketira is the lashon of ketoras. The ketoras was also these 11 different spices that were packed together, that were somehow put together in a remarkable way, and they're brought by Kohen Gadol into Kodesh Kadashim in a unique way on Yom Kippur. Bar Yochai b'Kodesh HaKadashim. What's the inyan of ketoras as the lashon of iskashrus? What's the inyan of Kodesh Kadashim? What's the inyan of the ketoras, the 11 spices of the ketoras? What does that have to do with Rashbi saying, my whole life was one big ketoras, was one big life of being connected? So in the Brice of ketoras, in the Brice that describes exactly what we put in the ketoras, what we don't put in the ketoras, the Brice says, Ilu hayunoisin ba kurtav shel devash, if we were to put devash into the ketoras, ein adam yachol lamud b'fnei recha. The scent of the ketoras, no one could handle the scent of the ketoras. So if I were to ask you, if we were to pause right there and learning the Brisa, and I were to ask you, so why don't we put Dvash into the ketoras? Because it would be overwhelming. And then we ask the Kasha. We say in the Brisa, V'lama ein ma'arvin ba Dvash. So why don't we put Dvash in? We just said, why you don't put Dvash in? Because we wouldn't be able to handle it. Why don't we put in Dvash? Ipnesha, Torah Amra. Because the Torah says, Ki kol sor v'chol Dvash, lo saktiri manu yishel Hashem. Because the Torah says we don't put Dvash in the Ketoras. So the Tzaddikim explain, I first saw this idea in a sefer called Child Since She Was Ginza Yosef. I'm not sure if Zucker saw it. It's an amazing idea. What's the question? You told me you can't put Dvash in the Ketoras because you wouldn't be able to handle it. Yeah, but why don't we put Dvash in the Ketoras? Because Hashem said so. Because Hashem said so. Because Ketoras, the real definition of Iskashrus, what it means to live a life of real connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is because Hashem said so. I don't have to understand. You could try to explain, you don't put the Dvash in the Ketoras, because as a human being it would be overwhelming. Or you could more simply say, we don't put dvash in the ketores because Hashem said, don't put dvash in the ketores. The Gra in Mishlei explains that the concept of dvash, that sweet honey, dvash is sometimes associated with understanding in a certain way. When a child starts to, so many children, when they get their upshare on Lag BaOmer, and we review the letters, so we put a little bit of honey on either a chart with letters, and the child is able to taste the sweetness of understanding. The Gra writes in Mishlei, in several places, that Dvash is Rashi Tevo's Deya Bina Sechel. Understand. The things that I get. But in the world of Ketores, there's no place for Dvash. In the world of real Hiskashers for Kodesh Baruch Hu, in a world of real Dveikas by Hashem, it can't be based on my understanding of things. I can't have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that's limited by my understanding. Moshe Rabbeinu can kick and scream, and we should also. There's a part of us that does, that screams to Hashem. It makes sense of it all. Reveal yourself. Hareini nas kvodecha. Explain how this makes sense. Where's the beauty in this? Where's the glory in this? Hod shevahod. Where's the beauty of this? Where's the greatness of the Midas HaDin? There's an amazing Me'ash Shiloach in Parshas Emor. Me'ash Shiloach goes through five questions that we as human beings ask on a Kodesh Baruch. Again, we don't have time to go through it now. But the Me'ash Shiloach says, every Jew is a Kohen. A Kohen means an Oved Hashem. And every Jew wants to understand the ways of Hashem. And every Jew wants to understand how there can be Midas HaDin in the world. How does a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who created the world, Lahativ Labrios, how does the Kodesh Baruch Hu allow so much Midas HaDin? Hod Shem Hod is such Midas HaDin. And yet it's the Simcha of Rashbi. How could that be? And he writes here so beautifully, he says, and a person who doesn't believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not bothered by this Kasha, because everything's random. Bad things happen. Everything's random. It's a world of Mikra. But a world who, a Yid who believes in Hashkacha Pratis, who believes that there's a Borei Olam, so he's not satisfied by a world that doesn't make sense. It has to make sense. There's a God. There's a Cheshbon. There's someone responsible for all of this. But that only makes me want to ask the questions that much more, because I expect more from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he describes the different questions that we all have on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the first thing, this past Shabbos, for Chutz Laaretz Jews at least, Parshas Emor, the Shabbos before Yom Tov always leads us into the Yom Tov. The first thing a Kohen and Eved Hashem struggles with is Lenefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amav. It's a question of death itself. How could it be a Kodesh Baruch Hu that there's such a thing as Misa in the world? How could it be? How could it be? And yet we trust that a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. And he goes on to explain how later in the Parsha, in Emor, when it goes through the five Yom Tovim, each of the Yom Tovim is an answer to one of the questions of a believer. Not a question of a heretic, a question of a believer. The question of a Jew who says, on the one hand, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you put me in a world where I feel like I can be an Eved Hashem, and yet sometimes we go through such harsh things in this world that I feel like I'm spent, I have no kochos left to be an Eved Hashem. That's the Kohen who's a Baal Mum. He's a Kohen, but he can't serve in Beis HaMikdash. He's neither here nor there. You know what the answer is to that second question? It's the second Yom Tov after Pesach is Shavuos. On Shavuos, when we stood at Har Sinai, all of the mumim, all of our imperfections, all of our disabilities were healed at Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know on the surface right now it looks like there's a lot of brokenness, but you'll see, it's all going to be healed. Harofei l'shvuri lev, the whole thing is going to work itself out. So we can't put dvash into our ketores. You can't put your own intellectual understanding into your iskash with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bar Yochai b'Kodesh HaKadoshim, when Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim with that Ketores, and he places it down before the Kruvim, in the presence of the Kruvim. The Kruvim that rest on top of the Aron, transcending the Torah. The Kruvim, which is the face of the child, the sweet, innocent face of a child, who doesn't have the questions and the burdens and the heaviness that we as adults face in this world. The Kruvim, which are on top of the Aron, on top of the Torah, like a crown that's worn on top. Tzaddikim even explain, and I saw it today, I'm so happy, I got a picture from an old friend, an old Talmud of mine who lives in Mishkafayim. near Beit Shemesh. He sent me a beautiful picture with his son riding on his shoulders. That practice that you see, if you went on to, you know, if you clicked on the live stream from Meiron today, you see people carrying their children on their shoulders. That's not stam, just, you know, a good way to get your kid around, is to hang on to him among the crowds of Meiron. But that's actually part of the avoda. The tzaddikim explain, when the child goes and sits above the parent's head, it's a reminder of that sweet innocence of the child who doesn't have questions. The child who's just happy to be and understands Hashem in the simplest way, without any philosophy, without any deep wisdom, but is just connected because of a sweetness. The way that a child is connected to Hashem without Deya, Bina, and Seichel, without any Devash, without any understanding. A child is able to be Mekusher to Hashem. The Kohen Gadol brings his Ketoros into Kodesh Kadashim, and he places it in the presence, the place where he's reminded that the child, the sweet, innocent Kruven, can transcend the Torah. On a day of Lifnei Hashem Titar, on a day of purification that comes from surrender to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, washing ourselves clean on Yom Kippurim, Titar, this farm says, Gotcha Keser, it's like a crown. It transcends the intellect, it's something above the head. And that's the purification that we're trying to tap into tonight. The love of a parent and a child that transcends any logic, where the child becomes bigger than the parent, with all the understanding of the parent. But what would we give for the sweetness and the innocence of a child? And that brings us to the final Mishnah in Maseches Yoma, where Rabbi Akiva, the great Rebbe of Rishon Baruch Chai, who's so much a part of this Yom Tov that we're celebrating, Amar Rabbi Akiva, we'll sing it in a few minutes, Mirtz Hashem, Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate are we, Klal Yisrael? What are we so fortunate about? Ashreichem Yisrael. If they mi atem mitarim umi mitaresim. Where does our tara come from? Avichem shavashamayim. It comes from what? From the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us as Knesset Yisrael. The love, the selection of the Jewish people that transcends any logic that no one can explain. Rabbi Akiva is not done. Rabbi Akiva says, ma mitva mitaris etzmeim. The Rambam writes, when he's describing the Torah process, the Rambam says, can anyone explain why a mikvah works? Why does a mikvah work? How is it different than a bath? The same water. Looks exactly the same. But tell me, it's rainwater? I can make a rainwater out of a bath. What's so special about it? It has the ability to transform from tamei to tar. It can make a non-Jew into a Jew? By taking a bath? How does that work? The Rambam says it's a chok. It says Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, the love that a Jew has for Hashem, and that Hashem has for a Jew, that kesher shokayama between Kutcher Brich and Knesset Yisrael, it transcends any logic. That Ketoros that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai lived with in Kodesh Kadashim, it transcends any logic. It's like a mikvah that's mitaras tmeim, Ava Kodesh Baruch Hu mitaras Yisrael. It's something that we completely fail to understand. We allow ourselves to immerse ourselves in. So like Rav Soloveitchik said, the response to tragedy is not why. The Jew doesn't come to ask why. Kohen is gematria bitachon. If we want to be a Kohen, if we want to be a real Kohen, and every one of us is a Kohen, we're mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. The Jew doesn't ask why. The Jew leans into his bitachon. The Jew says, okay, so now what? What do I learn from it? How do I draw closer to Hashem? How do I draw closer to each other? How do I undo some of the pirud, that separation, which is the antithesis of Ketoros, the antithesis of Kodesh Kadosh, the antithesis of Rishon Baruch Chai, the chavivus of Tal Yamil, where everything was chavivus, everything was closeness. How do I find that hod, even in a place of hod, in a place of bittul, in a place of surrender, in a place of confusion? The Gemara in Mako says, there's two more minutes. The Gemara in Mako says, Amar Rav, the Alida Ime to Rabbi Shimon, a bracha for all the Jewish women of the world. Every Jewish mother who's going to be blessed with a child, she should be zocha to have a child like Rabbi Shimon. The Alida Ime to Rabbi Shimon. If a woman gives birth, you give her a bracha, you should be zocha to have a child like Rashi. If Elo says Rav, a very stark thing, V'ilo lo teilet. If you're not going to have a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai like child, then it may be better not to have children. The Gemara says, Rava says, and even though that the drasha that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai gave, very technical drasha, a line before Makos Daf Yud Zayin, the drasha that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai explained, even though Rava says, I have a kasha on everything he said, I can ask point by point on every single thing that he said, nonetheless, I give every Jewish woman a bracha, you should have a child like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And then Rava goes and he explains, he picks apart the pasuk and he shows, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai got everything wrong. But none of it makes sense. The whole thing makes no sense. I have a pircha, Rava asked a star kasha on everything he said. So the Gemara says, Elamai di alida imek Rabbi Shimon. So then why do you say such a strong bracha that you're going to have a child? You should be blessed to have a child like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai if everything he said is backwards and wrong. If none of it makes any sense. So the Rava says, because the way the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai explained the pasuk, and I know we're losing in context here, the way the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai explained that pasuk that he was expounding in Makos Daf Yud Zayin, misarisle lekra v'darshta. He took the pasuk piece by piece, and he understood it. He explained it misaris. He inverted it. He learned the whole pasuk backwards. You'll take a look on Daf Yud Zayin. You have the headspace for it. Very complicated drasha. He learned the whole pasuk backwards. He built his whole mahalik by learning the pasuk backwards. And that is so creative and so brilliant that everyone should be blessed to have a child like Rishon Baruch Hai. Even though Rava says, I have a kash on everything he said. But he knew how to learn the pasuk backwards. He knew how to read the whole thing backwards. However, we know we're in an olam hafa. We're in a world where everything is backwards. My father always explained, my father's an ophthalmologist, my father always explains how the eye inverts every image that we ever see. The relationship between our mind and our eye, to be able to flip over an image, to take an olam hafach or isi, like the Gemara says in Psachim Daf Nun, but to make sense of it. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rava's revealing to us, it's a secret, this Gemara. Rava's revealing to us that even though Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai leaves you with a lot of kashas, the world of Rishon bar Yochai doesn't offer answers. It's hod shebahod. He's revealing and concealing at the same time. It's that bridge between Misa and Chaim, which none of us have any hasaga of. It's called Kodesh Kadash, a place we've never been. It's a place where we're not allowed to include Deya, Bina, and Seichel. Our Dvash has to be left aside. And yet, somehow, Rishon bar Yochai comforts us by showing us that even if you read the pasuk backwards, you can uncover amazing things. Even in an olam hafach, even in a confusing and backwards world, there's still beautiful things to see. Bar Yochai nasa adam namor bavarech. When Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, I cannot write those two words, nasa adam. Let us make man. What do you mean us? Who's us? That's the greatest opening for heresy. People are going to say there's more than one God. People are going to deny the truth, the validity of Hashem. And Hashem's response to Moshe Rabbeinu is, you write the words, the people who want to see how I meant it, the people who want to interpret the Torah, even though it's confusing properly, are going to see the truth. And the people who want to be confused by it, and want to have tainas and spend their whole life being embittered by it, and if you want to be an atheist, you want to be a kofri, you'll be a kofri either. Even if I write the Torah perfectly. Kadosh Baruch Hu put a word, a phrase with our nasa, and let us make man. Moshe says, it's so confusing. Why are you making the world confusing? And Hashem says, the people who are going to get it are going to get it, and the people who are not going to get it are not going to get it. So when we sing Bar Yochai, nasa adam namor bavarech, it's because of people like you, Rishon bar Yochai, that Hashem could write the words nasa adam in the Torah. Hashem says, I'm not afraid to make the world a little bit confusing because it's going to be tzaddikim who can reveal and conceal at the same time. We're going to teach us to make sense of suffering. They're going to teach us that the Matana Tova of this world, Rishon bar Yochai's first teaching in Shas, the Matana Tovas of this world come from a place of Yisur. And therefore, on a night like tonight, on a day like today, with faith, with bitachon, with bitol, with humility, with emunah, with a simcha of something we don't fully understand, we celebrate the sod of the world. A rainy nas kvodachas gemashtri Rishon ben Yochai. We don't understand, we don't get it, but it's a glimpse. It's a glimpse of something we can't understand. can never explain. We can never make sense of what happened last year in Meron. It's not our job to try to say nice Torahs to explain tragedies. But I'm telling you, the more you enter into the world of Rishon Bar Yochai, the more you enter into that space of Hod Shebahod, that world of Ketores, that world of Kodesh Kedashim, the world of Amunah, the world of Bitachon, the world of Bittul, the world of making sense of things that don't make sense of an Olam Hafach Ra'isi, the more a person can be comforted, even in difficult times. So Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us to have that Amunah, to have that Bitachon, to again, to recognize that sod that is found not just within the world, but within our worlds, in each and every one of us. That sod of the Torah, that sod of our neshama. And Amir Tzah Hashem in this way. Rishon Bar Yochai will give us a lot of the chama. The world needs a lot of the chama. The world needs a lot of healing. Harofe l'shvurei lev, shvurei rashi tevos rashmi. Harofe l'shvurei lev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should heal all of the broken hearts. We should be zocha. We should be zocha to experience Tchilas Amesim, to dance with those Kedoshim whose lives were taken from us last year in Meron, to dance with the Rishon Bar Yochai all the way from Meron back to Yerushalayim to see the Beis HaMikdash from Herb Yomim.
Amen. Amen. Amen.